Hello everyone, I'm here with Ishani Ebgi. She is an American-born lady, but she's living in New Delhi with her husband, Aryavan, and she's going to talk to us a little bit today. Hello, Rachel.
Hello.
Nice to see you.
Well, they're both good, Rachel and Ishani, so they're both good. Hello, Asha.
Both noble names. Ishani, I know a little bit about your life before you came to Ananda, but I didn't meet you until you were there. So why don't you tell me sort of how you grew up, where you grew up, what your point of view on life was, what you were doing before you came to the path, and then how it found you. So start.
Well, so I grew up in a very Israeli household, and I went to a Jewish yeshiva school. So we learned Torah, Talmud, you know, Dinim, Tanakh, the whole kind of.
This is all in the USA, not in Israel.
This is in the USA. This is in Miami, Florida. Right. But the community that I grew up in was very Israeli. So all of my parents' friends were Israeli. Like everyone who would come to the house would be Israeli. Hebrew was always spoken in the house. That was the first language before English. And it was just, very Israeli. In the school that I went to, there was a lot of Israelis there, but there was also Americans. And it was a religious school. And I mean, every Friday for Shabbat, there would be like Shabbatons where you can go to these hotels and all the kids would get together and just basically have Shabbat together. And a lot of the people that went to the school, the kids that went to the school were Orthodox religious. So they would, you know, wear, you know, cover their, you know, legs and arms and, you know, be very dressed conservatively. A lot of my teachers wore wigs and they would, of course, keep Shabbat, keep kosher. And so, you know, having this like very Jewish religious upbringing was a big part of my growing up. And, you know,
was it an experience of God or was it an experience of religion?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I've been thinking about this, like in this school is where I learned to love God. It was just like such a given that God, like I never had to like go through the process of, is there a God? It was just a given. There was no doubt. It was just because the way the teachings were presented to me in the school, I mean, we had 9 classes. One was English, one was math, one was history, and the rest were Jewish studies.
Really?
And the stories and the, you know, the teachers and just like the amount of passion that a lot of my rabbis had for these teachings were transmitted to us as students. So, you know, I had my issues. Like I would notice we would do a lot of prayers. Like when you get to school, there was morning prayers. Then there was prayers in the middle of the day. Then there was prayers after lunch. And then there was prayers after school. Mm-hmm. And it just started to become really like routine for me. And I started to just notice like if I had to really, Jewish school is where I learned to love God. And the path of yoga is where I learned to experience God.
That's a very good question. Yeah, very good.
Yeah, so like I learned, and so that was just sort of, and I remember seeing a lot of these religious families and just how beautiful the Shabbat was. This was a time for them to spend together as a family, to not watch television, or at the time there was no cell phones, but all distractions were put aside, no money exchange, nothing. And they were just together. And I loved going to these Shabbatons or to my ultra Orthodox religious friend's house for Shabbat. I just remember thinking, I want to be religious. I want to dedicate my life to God. But like, I also knew that this was not exactly the way that I was going to be doing it. I mean, this was all so subtle, you know,
The child brain, when you get to be an adult, you look back and you realize what you were reaching for. Did you follow that? Were you in that Jewish school all the way through high school?
No, when I went to ninth grade, I told my mom I really felt like I needed to have a more, you know, I mean, there was no black students in my school. There was no Asian students. Like, I just felt like I needed more diversity and I needed a little bit more, yeah. I could perceive that I was being only told like a very specific part of the story. And I, just knowing my personality, I'm very, you know, broad. I'm interested in a lot of different things. So I went to a public school in 10th, 11th, and 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th. But then in 11th grade, I went to a program called High School in Israel. And so you basically go to all these places, Qumran, the Dead Sea Scrolls, Masada, and you learn, you get like a whole bunch of college credits because it's an intensive study program, and you're in Israel, and you go to the places where you learn about. So it's like you're learning it on a lot of different levels, and it was a very transformative thing for me. So I always felt very connected. I have a huge family in Israel. I have 18 first cousins all over Israel. I have a huge deep love for the Jewish culture and the Israeli culture. It's just so real and authentic. There's not a lot of, you know, barriers.
You're just kind of, well, the Jewish people tend to be pretty forthright, and then you double down and you become Israeli. I grew up in a Jewish family too, so I know this. I don't think you double it. I think you put a squared. You know, it goes way higher. Israelis are surviving. They don't, you know, there's not a lot of room for pretense. It's right. It's life or death a lot of the time. So I'm going to skip a long ways, but after you left high school and went to college or wherever you went, did you leave all that behind? Did you continue to live in a Jewish atmosphere? Or did you spread after that?
No, I actually started to become friends with a bunch of Southern Baptists and then experienced their kind of reality and went to a lot of, you know, church gatherings, and I would spend a lot of time with this family. And they were very religious, very, very much into, you know, Christ and teachings. But every single celebration that they would have, they would get just completely drunk. Oh my God. And so, like, you know, I mean, just really, really drunk. And so that was kind of interesting to me, because a lot of the religious Jews that I knew growing up, they were very much into God, but they didn't drink. I mean, of course, the wine during the Shabbat dinners, but I didn't really grow up with a lot of alcoholics. I didn't even really know any of them. So I thought that was an interesting thing. And then I was always interested in like spiritual things, or I didn't know it was like spiritual, but I was always interested in finding out what was going on behind the scenes. You know, I was never just interested with like the veneer. Like, I knew there was more, and I knew I had to find out what that was.
Okay, so how did yoga ever come into your life then? Where were you and how were you introduced? What was your first taste?
So I actually had this terrible breakup. I was with this guy for like 10 years. We were engaged and we had this terrible breakup. And I really had nowhere to go in my consciousness. Like, I just felt like, you know, there was no solution to heal me, to ease my pain. It was such a painful experience. And my friend's like, why don't you come with me to this yoga class? And I was like, ugh, yoga, whatever. Because I was really into working out and I loved, like, you know, sweating and stuff. And I just thought yoga was going to be this, like, but I was like, all right, let me go. And luckily, as luck would have it, the teacher that was there was just like, I mean, this amazing, she was a divinely brought into my life, because the way this teacher created this class was a journey into your own consciousness and tuning into the subtle energy, like going beyond behind your physical bones and muscles and tuning into that subtle energy. And the way she guided it, so when you're in Warrior One, it's not like you're just in this physical position, but you're experiencing yourself behind your identity, behind what you see.
That sounds exactly like what you said you were looking for. You wanted to know what was behind the whole story. How old were you at this point, and where were you? Where were you?
I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, of all places, because this guy that I was with was a firefighter there. So we moved to Charlotte, North Carolina. Uh-huh. And I was a makeup artist. This is where I first started. Yes. Makeup artist. And this is where I first started my makeup artist career. Mm-hmm. So I started, and I was 29 years old when I started doing hatha yoga, and I became obsessed. I would literally do yoga 7 days a week, some days twice, like two classes back to back. I just like had no idea there was all of this like untapped, amazing energy like in my body and like then chakras. And I just loved hatha yoga. And then about 3 years into doing hatha yoga, I had now moved to New York. Mm-hmm. And then my teacher, this other amazing teacher, I was very lucky to have these really great hatha yogi teachers that were very tuned in to the energy aspect of it. I don't know why. I just happened to attract that. But this teacher is like, today, after yoga, today we're going to do our class and then we're going to have a 15-minute meditation. And I was like, what? 15-minute meditation? I want to do my yoga. Like, that's 15 minutes. And I was like, but whatever. I went along with it. So she did these asanas, like, in this sequence to kind of create, like, this great meditation session, I guess. So we're ready to sit down, and I close my eyes, and I don't know where I went. It was just, I mean, the whole thing, just lights, and I've never experienced anything like that before then or since then. That was like my one and only shot. But it was just like, and that was it. I was like, there is something so much more beyond than what I could ever imagine and what I've been building my whole life around. I've got to build my life around this. And that one thought just led me on this completely.
So did Master come into your life soon after that? Had you read Autobiography of a Yogi? What was your first introduction to Master?
Well, so no, Master did not come. I started reading Krishnamurti, and then I started reading Osho. In fact, I got really into Osho. Just the way he communicates is very similar to the way I communicate. Like, you know, just kind of tough love. You're dumb. Wake up. You're stupid. You know, you don't know anything. I just kind of really resonated with that. He said this one thing. Every single minute of the day, ask yourself, what am I thinking about? What am I thinking about? What am I thinking about? So I kind of did that for a while. But, you know, it's interesting because I was doing a lot of yoga probably for about, 5 years. Mm-hmm. And then someone said to me, you should really take yoga teacher training. And for the first time I said this, and the first time I thought this, I said, I don't want to just take yoga teacher training at any yoga studio. I need to find my guru. And that was the first time I heard myself say that. And I was like, what does that even mean? I don't know where that even came from. And then that was, I guess, in December. And then 1 year later, I Googled, because I was, you know, always going to these yoga studios. And in order to, they were so expensive, especially, you know, in California, they're like $200 a month. But if you work for 4 hours a week, and I was a freelance makeup artist, if you work for 4 hours a week, you get a free unlimited yoga. So I would do that in whatever city I was. And at this point I had left New York and moved to LA, and I Googled karma, because it was called karma yoga.
Right, of course.
You know? And so one day on my way to work, I'm like, karma yoga? I wonder if I can do that in an ashram. And so I Googled karma yoga ashram. I mean, like, it's so crazy that like these words were like planted in my brain, you know, like it's just like, it's almost like the masters were kind of like, all right, already, like pushing me along, you know, like you're taking so long, just hear the words, go Google that now. And so I found Expanding Light, and I just like loved how the website looked and everything. And I went to the Expanding Light, you know, about 4 months later. And Trimurti handed me the Autobiography of a Yogi, and I looked at it and I was like, okay, this book is my next step. And I mean, I read it. I took that book with me. I had like stickers and post-it notes, and that book was just alive for me.
So your introduction to Master was standing on the property of Ananda.
Yeah.
And you came to Ananda because you Googled it.
Yeah.
And you liked the website. I mean, it's just marvelous the way these things work. So now,
yeah, Master, I didn't know Swami. I just knew that, like,
how did,
yeah.
How did Ananda feel to you just walking in from the world? I mean, you're still being a makeup artist, so you're not exactly living in, you're a yoga student and a makeup artist in Los Angeles, which gives us a certain picture, you know, and then all of a sudden you're at the expanding light, you're way out in the country. Most of the people at Ananda do not wear any makeup. And it's not, we don't do our yoga in classy yoga outfits. So it's a whole like different look. So how did it feel to you? Did it feel goofy? Did it feel like home? Or both?
No, I actually was very, I couldn't believe the kind of yoga that was happening. I thought that that was like, you know, the basic class. So I started, I mean, really on my own to do my own yoga classes at the Serenity House, which is one of the, there's like a room there. Yeah. And Trimurti's like, you can't do that. Like we do a style of yoga here and that's the style of yoga that we do. And so I was like, all right, but I wasn't, I was supposed to be there for a month. I left after 3 weeks. Because I was just like, this place is so cute. And I can check the ashram off the list and I'm going to go now. And it was like cute. But then I drove away. When I was driving away, I started singing, go with love, may joyful. Because, you know, they sing whenever a karma yogi leaves, they all get into a circle and sing it. And I started crying. And I'm like, what is this? And every mile that I was moving away from Ananda Village and moving towards LA was like more heartbreaking than the next. Oh, interesting. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And then I like totally spun into this like really deep depression because my soul was like pulling me in one direction, but my mind was in this other direction and that needed to resolve before I could do anything. And so the solution to that was do yoga teacher training at Ananda. Go back, do yoga teacher training, learn that yoga. And so I did, I came back 2 months later. It's like a $4,000 program. So I had to do a bunch of makeup jobs and, you know, just tried to do a bunch of makeup jobs, went back to, so, now, this is my second time going back 3 months later. The first time was as a karma yogi where I was like serving, washing dishes, cleaning toilets, you know, doing all of that. Now I'm going back as a yoga teacher, trainer. And so now I learn about the yugas and Patanjali and Bhagavad Gita and the philosophy of yogic living, yogic diet. I mean, the Raja Yoga book and Gyandev and Diksha were my teachers. And it was just like a completely different experience than the first time around with the karma yogis. You know, they have, it's just less intense, you know, a less.
It's a karma yoga program and the other is a full-time study program. So yes, of course the immersion is completely different.
Totally. Yeah. But that was it. And I was like, that's it. This is how I want to live my life. And then it's funny because, so that was like in April, Swamiji was there.
What year was that?
This was in 2011.
So you got the last 2 years of Swami's life.
Yeah. So Swamiji was there. He was at the village and he decided, so like we're in yoga teacher training. He decided that every Thursday he was going to give a satsang. And so I was like, that's pretty cool, you know, because he had not been feeling well. So he was sort of like reclusive, but then he decided he was going to be coming out. And so I was kind of excited to meet this Swami. I see him all over the place. You know, like I love that Raja Yoga book. It's so good. And I want to meet this guy. And when he came into the room, like, you know, everybody at Ananda Village was just so excited to see him. So everybody stands up and you could just feel all the love that everyone's projecting to him. And I was just like, wow, you know, I felt like such a, I don't know, I was like nervous or something. Anyway, so every Thursday he was going to be giving this satsang. But the students that were in the yoga teacher training program really didn't come or care. They came the first time. But I was like, you guys, this guy, like, we need to be in this guy's, like, aura, you know? So it was me and one other person from the yoga teacher trainers that would actually go see him. Anyway, long story short, I felt so transformed by that yoga teacher training program. And I wanted to move to Ananda Village. And I understood what that meant. That meant being a disciple. That meant like just kind of leaving my life. And I needed a sign. So Swamiji was giving the satsang for Easter. This was right at Easter. This was in the spring. And everybody was there. The whole temple was full. The whole dining room was full. And I was like in the back somewhere. And I just, with all of my concentration, said, when Swami walks out and he's up, you know, when he comes out of the temple, there's like that little stage there. When he comes out, he's got to look me in the eyes, not one, not two, but three straight seconds. He's got to look right at me. And that is my sign that I will move here. And I just concentrated and concentrated and concentrated so hard on that. So time comes, he walks out, everybody stands up, everybody, I'm in the dining room, I'm not even in the temple. Everybody stands up, he walks out onto the stage. How he found my eyes, I do not know, but he looked right at me, one, two, three. And I just felt like this wave of, like, I don't even know, like goosebumps. You know, I get a lot of goosebumps when something, you know, powerful happens. And I just was like, didn't know if I wanted to cry or what. And then I turn around because Trimurti, who is the Karma Yoga director at the Expanding Light and just one of the most amazing people, taps me. And he's like, hi, Rachel. I'm so glad that you're part of our spiritual family. And I'm like, what the heck? What just happened? Like, I walked into a portal of just like something, and that was it. I drove home that day because the program was over, and 2 months later I moved to Ananda Village.
And that's where you were, that's where you met your husband. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I did the makeup for the movie The Answer and Finding Happiness, and then
Ananda had two films, oddly enough. Ishani was able to do makeup at Ananda because we started making movies. So anyway, so you're doing makeup for these two different movies that we made.
I actually didn't want to do the Finding Happiness one because I felt like, you know, I don't know. It was just like I was getting too, there's so much of an identity with my makeup artist life. I mean, I was completely immersed in that. So I told Shivani I actually didn't want to do the movie, even though I told Swami I did want to do the movie. So then I just backed out in the last minute. So they got another makeup artist, but then they filmed in two parts. And then the second filming, the makeup artist couldn't show up for some days. So I did the makeup during those times. But then for The Answer, I did the makeup for the whole movie.
And so that I asked about meeting your husband. So Aryavan was on the movie set. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he was on the Answer movie set. And him and his father, Gary McSweeney, and the three of us just hung out all the time. And Brian McSweeney, now Aryavan. It was just really fun. And we just developed a really great friendship, a lot of laughter, a lot of lightness, but a lot of depth. But in the middle of the filming of the movie, there was this really strange thing happened where the people who were producing the movie and the director and the cinematographer, who were all from India and used to working on Indian, you know, with Indian crews. And then we had an American crew, which were used to working in another way. And so there was sort of this like clash. And I saw how much like Aryavan Brian was like, you know, in on these meetings, or just how he just kept centered. And, you know, amidst all of this chaos, I looked to him because he was kind of like living it. You know, he was like living these teachings, and I was, you know, sort of newer. A year later, or no, 6 months later, we got together, and then he went with you to India. Uh-huh. And then we've been married since 2015, and last year we moved to India.
That's fantastic. So what are you doing there? So you've been from Israel, an Israeli upbringing in Miami, to makeup in New York, to makeup in Los Angeles, to yoga teacher training in Ananda Village, and now you're in New Delhi. So what are you doing in New Delhi?
So the last 6 years at Ananda, I've been making videos, promotions for Ananda Village. That's, you know, I was doing primarily at Ananda Village, actually not primarily, only. I mean, also teaching yoga. You know, it just felt like about 2 years ago, it just felt like, you know, Ananda is this worldwide movement, and kind of like how it was when I was in my private school as a kid growing up, I felt like now I needed to kind of like get a bigger picture of things. Same sort of thing happened. You know, I filmed everything that was at the village. You know, I knew all the good places and nooks and crannies, and now I needed to have like, you know, a bigger sort of thing to film and people to meet. And so we took a year off where we basically went to all the different Anandas and connected with a lot of our Guru Bhais and the different Anandas. And when we came to India, it was just really clear that this is where we needed to be. There's just like a lot that's not formed yet. There's a lot that's still formless. And so in terms of creativity and sharing videos and content and photos and different things like that, it just felt like a little bit more open. And creatively, it's been just an explosion. I mean, every day I wake up with like a million ideas of different things that we want to put out. So I make videos, a lot of graphics. I manage many Ananda India Instagram accounts. In fact, you should follow Ananda Sangha India on Instagram.
And also, you must say, your own video work is center everywhere, correct?
And center everywhere. But, you know, we've kind of been like more focusing on Ananda India's worldwide work. And, you know, I mean, it was the thought at some point to kind of do this center everywhere. And we still do. I still keep that going, but we've sort of shifted to Ananda's worldwide work. So, and it's just been thrilling, amazing. I live in Delhi with Daya Nayaswami, Tyagi.
Yes,
Tyagi. Daya and Keshava. And Amit and Chika and Hari. And it's just amazing and fun.
It's fun. So, where do you see Ananda going in the future? I mean, how do you see 10 years, 20, 25 years from now? What do you think is the essence of Ananda that will keep going? I'm not talking about the form.
Oh my God, that's a really hard question, Asha.
Okay.
I love that.
Just guess.
You know, I think that Ananda is a movement. I do feel like we're moving to higher ages, you know, higher states of consciousness, higher states of being. And I do see Ananda perhaps becoming a bit more formless, maybe instead of being, you know, kind of run by, you know, two people or one person. I see it being like a team, you know. I see Ananda just being like a place. I see spiritual leaders as being like the new celebrities. You know, as our world starts to shift, people are going to look to spiritual leaders because our value systems in this world are going to completely shift. The things that really matter now are not going to matter later. And I heard this term, consciousness is the new currency, you know, and it's like really the new currency, like consciousness, how you're thinking about things, how you're narrating the events that are happening to you. That's like the currency of value. And so I feel like Ananda is going to be, you know, really poised to usher in, you know, the higher ages. I mean, Ayavan gave this amazing talk yesterday about how to manifest Satya Yuga consciousness. And at the end of the class, he was talking about how Ananda really is already doing it, because when people are all following their truest, highest Dharma, then there's no conflict and everyone moves together in an upward way. And that's what I feel like, you know, Ananda's role will be in the future.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Ishani. It's just been delightful to talk to you. Thank you for sharing a most interesting journey. Everyone's journey is unique. Some are more colorful than others. And I really enjoyed it. So thank you for sharing. God bless you, dear.
Thank you, Ashley. God bless you.